I bring greetings to you from my family. My church is back home in Guyana. And God has been very gracious to us for the past couple of months. Been adding to the church leaps and bounds. It's growing. Pastor John and his wife went there last year, March. And from since when last year went there came to now, it's been very much growing. And bless God for that. All right, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 to verse 6. This is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jeremiah. What? Heard about a man been preaching one time and he was quoting from the book of Mark chapter 17.
Okay.
Thank you. Sounds strange and funny. But John tells us that there are many things that are not written in this book. All right. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about deciding how you want to change your image to match the person you want to become. I'll repeat that for your benefit. Decide how you want to change your image to match the person you want to become. I was in a pastor's meeting last night, and one of the key things that they were talking about is how they can help Martinsville. And the preacher made a very, very profound statement, and he said, one of the ways that you can help Martinsville is to be a light. I agree with him when he came in back and sat down. I shook his hand and told him he did a very good job. But when I went home and I looked deep down into what he was saying, it would take more than just being a light to help Martinsville. You personally, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, an expression of the body of Christ, regardless of what denomination or fellowship you come from, you will have to be a person that with quality, superb, dynamic personality. And it will cause you to become that. Because what the world is looking for is not the old-time religion anymore. The old-time religion has gone long time ago. And we still try to dance the tune and try to play how best it can go and see what best we can get out of it. But it don't work anymore. It was good for Paul and Silas then. It was good for Peter and John then. But God said in his word that he will do a new thing. And he's also bringing forth a new man. It means that we have to line up to that what God is doing.
Yes.
If you do not line up, I'm a crazy guy, right? We have to make sure that we line up with what God is doing, or we will miss the purposes of God.
Yes.
And to line up, it will be costly. And not many people are willing to pay the price. If you run into a race, you will gain a prize. But to run into that race, you have to discipline yourself to get the prize. And if you play into a game, you will have to play like a champion, as a corporate team. Never playing to lose, but always playing to win. And God is not expecting any one of us here, regardless of who we are, how good we might be, how spiritual we might be, how anointed we might be, how powerful ministry we might have, whatever title we carry, he's not expecting us to lose in any way. And the reason why we should not play to lose is because we have something deep within to protect. We have something deep within to keep intact. And so we have to believe God more than ever before for the supernatural to come into manifestation. So I'm talking here today to you concerning, decide how you want your image to change so that you can match the person you really want to become. The first thing I'd like to say, bring to your attention is in chapter 18 in the book of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to this great prophet, and God said to him to arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. And to me, this is very important. Not too many people, and I repeat, beloved, not too many people hear the word of God or the voice of God today. All what they hear is the television, or they hear the preacher in the pulpit, or they hear somebody else talk. And the reason why people do not hear from the Lord himself is because they have become too busy and do not have the quality or adequate time to sit down and listen to what God has to say. That's where the church finds itself, where it might be in today. I'm speaking generally, not talking about Wellspring. The church finds itself in a spot where in some cases it's been dried up, in some cases it's not growing, in some cases it's under heavy pressure, demonic activities, in some cases there are sickness and disease and oppression and depression, oppression, compression, suppression, and every other oppression. And there are so many things that have been happening all over into the body of Christ. It struggles more even sometimes than the people that lives in the world. We sit down in the church and we see the people in the world flourish like the seed of Lebanon. We see them become like a tree that planted by the water that shall not be moved. We see they have so much in abundance. They go to the extent and they invest more than even the church. And the people in the church always in the background. Come on, talk to me. Don't get quiet to me. If you get quiet to me, I'm going to run and leave. If I'm saying the truth, say yes. If I'm not saying the truth, say shut up and sit down. I know what I'm talking about. My church went through that kind of a situation. And it's not easy. The word of the Lord came to the prophet. And God told him to arise. The word arise is an action word. It means to get up. And when God says to arise, it means to get up. And if we sit down, we might be sitting in the premises and not on the promises. And if we sit in the wrong place, we can get pushed over, or we can be easily devoured by the enemy, because he's seeking to devour all what we're seeking to do and all what we're seeking to become. So you have to watch your image. Every mother in this house would know what I'm talking about, because I've seen it in my own wife. So I'm not throwing anything at you. As long as you're young and as you're a teenager, you look good. When you're married and you get your first baby, your image automatically changes. You're not the same person you used to be as a teenager before you're married. Come on, talk to me, man. I said, if I'm not talking anything right, tell me, shut up. The image changes. And it can change in so many different ways. And I don't want to go into that because I can be put on discipline. It can be changed in many different ways. The man went down to the potter's house. He was told to go down to the potter's house and to see the work that was going on within the wheels. And so the vessel was there. And the Bible says in verse 4, and a vessel that he made of clay was marred. The vessel which God has made in the first place was Adam. He was marred. He was marred because he decided to obey, listen to what his wife had to say. He was the original Zakar man that God made in his own personal image and likeness and placed into the Garden of Eden and give him instructions and directions and tell him what to do and what not to do. And one of the instructions was that the day that you eat from this fruit thereof, you will surely die. As long as Adam was living in the garden and he was living above sin, death has no power over his life. He was free from death. But the minute he ate from that fruit, he accessed death into his life. He opened up the door the minute he ate from that fruit. And he was in a very bad state and condition. That's where the vessel was marred. And since then, it has been passed on to every generation. Even to this generation in which we are, when we've been seeing more death today, more than anything else. Jamaica, I heard, has about 3 million people. And every year, there's about 1,500 murder happens in Jamaica alone. You didn't hear what I say. And that is crazy to know. That within the capacity of 3 million people every year, 1,500 people will be murdered in that country. As long as we live above sin, death has no effect, cannot touch us, cannot penetrate, cannot even come close. But the minute we live in sin, we open the door, death access. Come straight in. The day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. So the vessel was marred. So the potter had to make another vessel. Tell your neighbor, another vessel. Man, you guys are talking like you're tired. I'm the one should be tired. I went preaching this morning like crazy and coming here. I want to preach like crazy. You got to loose me, let me go. Loose me, let me preach. Hello. Don't hold me down. God had to make another vessel. The first Adam was marred. The first vessel was messed up. The first vessel fell into sin. The first vessel caused the whole world to get in where it is today. But God had to make another vessel. The potter had to make another vessel. And that was not the second Adam. That was the last Adam. Oh my God. Come on, talk to me today. How to make another vessel. And he had to make it right because he had to go through all the wheels, the wheels and to be spun right away round and to make sure it has all the qualities that will identify him to go to the cross on Calvary to shut down all principalities and powers, to make an open show of the devil, to let the devil know that he has no more dominion over the creation, over what God has been made. Hallelujah. This last vessel I'm telling you about today was going to be the incorruptible seed, was going to be the one that was going to stand up face to face and let Satan and demons know that he was not afraid of any powers of darkness, that all power was given unto him in heaven and on earth. And oh God, he said the same power, the same dunamis power, the same dynamic power which I have and I receive, I give unto the church. And whatever you bind in earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose in earth shall be loose in heaven. The church need to wake up. God said to the prophet, arise. Go down to the potter house. Oh my God, hallelujah. The Bible tells us this last vessel was made so powerful. Principalities and powers had to bow and respect that. It was the incorruptible seed which passed down, because even long before the first vessel was marred, the second, the last vessel was already been in preparation. The Bible says he was slain from the foundation of the world. His provision was made. God saw the established the beginning, but he also knew what's going to happen at the end long before the beginning come into existence. So he had to make preparation with the last vessel. The vessel had to go back to the potter house to be made all over again. And I thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ was in total submission. And he taught it was not going to be robbery to make himself equal with the Father. But the Bible says he humbled himself even unto death, even to the death of the cross. And because he was obedient, the Bible says that God has given him a name that is above every other name. And that name every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Are you hearing me today, beloved of God? He's not in the grave. He's not in the judgment hall. He's not on the cross. He's not in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's nowhere else around that place. Right now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he sent the Holy Ghost to be with you here. When you feel the impact of the presence and the anointing of God upon your life, it is the power of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Ghost come to abide with you to make an impact and impartation and to make a deposit in your life. To move you from where you are. Because your present position where you are right now, regardless of who we are, is not our present destiny. We've got to make a special effort to move from where we are. If we don't move out, God's going to know. God knows how to move us out and to replace us and to get somebody who's going to move, because the glory cloud has never stopped moving. Decide how you want your image today. Whatever we carry today might not be what God is looking for. It might be tied up in a whole lot of things. Schedules, plans, programs, tomorrow. I have to do this and I have to do that. I become so busy, I don't have even time to read my Bible tomorrow. I don't even have time to pray. I don't even have time to worship. I don't even have time to meditate upon the word. I'm hustling and bustling all over the place. I become too busy. The world is becoming too busy. The church is becoming too busy. And extra busy today. We need to come out from that kind of a situation. We need to come to the place that God said to some of the people in the days of old to stand still. And to see the salvation of God. To see deliverance. To receive impartation. To receive a miracle. To receive a touch. Hallelujah. To make sure that the power of God embraces us. And we experience a download from the presence of God. That our entire being, inside and outside, change radically. To become exactly what God wants it to be. He says, make it again, another vessel. As seemed good to the potter to make it. I want to hear this. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of wellspring, cannot I do this with you as this potter? Said the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of wellspring. To be in the potter's house, to be in the hand of the potter, it means it's called for what you call total submission. You cannot tell the potter what to do and how to make me. Already we've been wonderfully made. All we have to do is to submit our entire spirit, soul, and body in total submission and let the potter make you what you were destined to be. so that you can come to the conclusion, you know, decide how you want your image to change, so you can match the person you want to become. Let me take a little bit further than that today. Moses was an ordinary man just like every one of us. You know the whole story about him. There was a cry for a deliverer. God sent a deliverer. They wanted to kill him when he was 2 years of age and under. He ended up in the same place where they were killing. They took him in. They grow him. They feed him. They train him. They school him. They educate him. They did everything to make him a mighty, powerful warrior. But when Moses came to his understanding and realized who he really was, he make a very profound confession. He says, I rather suffer affliction with the people of God to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. So he decided he was going, after some things happened in Egypt, he ran away for his life on the backside of the desert. There's where he got his wife. There's where he met his father-in-law and everything else. You know the story. I'm just cutting up because you know. And one day he sat down and he looked about in Mount Horeb. And he saw the bright shining light up there. And one of the things that he has said has always lived with me from the first day I read it. I'm talking about 1963 when I read that scripture to this day. That's when I got saved. It lives with me so strong unto this end. Every time I read it or every time I talk about it, it becomes more meaningful to me personally. Moses sat down and after seeing all of this great light up there, he said, I will turn aside. And that is one thing that people don't know what to do and how to do it today, to turn aside. To turn aside means to leave everything what you're doing and step out from that and step in. To embrace what was happening up there. And the minute he did that, things began to change. When he went up the mountain, you know the story. He had such an encounter with God. His entire countenance changed. His personality changed. He was not the same ordinary man who went up that mountain. He came to us to God's mouthpiece. One of the most powerful prophets ever. Lived very close to God. Actually saw God. In one scripture it says that he saw God by his back. And another scripture says he saw God by his face. Moses' image was changed. So powerfully. That he began to match his true personality as a Hebrew. He realized that he was not an Egyptian. He truly understood that he was a Hebrew. And he decided he was going to go back. He was going to live there. He was going to stay there. Whatever happened, I'm going to stay there and suffer affliction with him. Moses' image was changed completely. When he came down from that mountain, the Bible says his face shined. His face shined so bright. How to take a veil and put it over. Are you here today? We're talking about decide how you want to change your image to match your person that you want to be. The real you and the real me is inside. What we have outside there is just the outer man. And if we can go in front of the mirror and be honest with ourselves and look carefully and keenly into the mirror, you will begin to identify yourself who you really are. I've done that many times. Secondly, Bible tells us about Daniel and the three boys in the book of Daniel chapter 3. They were told, the three boys were told to bow down and worship the image. And they were bold enough to answer the king that we are not mindful to answer in this matter. But if our God does not deliver us, we will not bow to your image. And so they were eventually thrown into the fire. And not one single hair was burned. Not even the smell of fire. But a true identity began to prove the fact that while they were walking in the midst of the fire, he turned it up seven times more. The king came and he was very curious. He looked into the fire. And the Bible says when he looked inside of there, he said he saw four men walking. And then he went back to the men. Did not we throw three men inside there? Yes, O king. But the king said, I'm seeing four men walking. And the fourth man, oh my God, Abashaka. He said, the fourth man is like unto the Son of God. He knew nothing about the Son of God. How come he had an understanding and a revelation about this fourth man is the Son of God walking in the midst of the fire? And because Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he's the consuming fire. And he went ahead of time and he shut down every heat that was going to hurt those boys. He shut it out completely and he stand there as a mighty, powerful, almighty God. And the boys going to be walking and they might have been celebrating and singing like Pastor John would sing. Come, let's keep on praying until the power of God has come down. All glory to God. All glory to God. Come, let's rejoice in until the power of God has come down. Oh my God, Abashanda. And they were walking and they were celebrating and they were dancing in the midst of the fire. And the king said, I'm seeing a fourth man is like unto the Son of God. Automatically, the identity of those boy's image was changed completely. Daniel was the same thing. He was turned to the, before he was turned to the lion's den, he came as a captive into Babylon. Hallelujah. He was there for a long time. And the Bible said that the king make a feast for 3 years. All the people who came as captives, they're going to feed them for 3 years. And they're going to see what they're going to be looking like after 3 years, eating the king's meat and his drink. And Daniel said, they're not going to, their purpose in their heart in chapter 1, verse 8, that they will not eat of the king's meat, but they decided they're going to eat something else and they're going to drink something else. And I said to the eunuch, come back 10 days after and check us out, see what's going on. The Bible says when the eunuch come back and he went there to treat 10 days after, Daniel and his three friends, they were looking 10 times better. You didn't hear what I'm saying. They were looking 10 times better than all the people who ate from the king's meat. Decide how you want to change your image today. If you're going to stay right where you are, just see how you are, you might end up in some serious problem. If you change your mentality and lift your mentality and change your focus and identity, and keep looking at the Jesus who is not only the author, but also the finisher of your faith. He will definitely bring you into your destiny. Because like I said earlier, your present position where you are is not your final destiny. Destiny is not where you came from, but it's where you're going. It's not what you used to be, it's who you are right now. Amen. And God wants to do some supernatural work in your life. He says in the book of Isaiah, he said, behold, I do a new thing. And I believe with all my heart that God is ready to explode and to do this great thing that he's talking about. And the people of God will have to make themselves available. They have to be in submission like the potter and the clay. The clay cannot tell the potter what to do. We got to be in total submission. Have a disciplined life. Come to understand the purpose of God. My God, the giftings and the callings of God upon my life. And I stand there in humble adoration, in submission. And I believe in God to do the work that he wants to do in my life, to change my image, to bring me to the place that I really need to be. Daniel was in Babylon. You know the story, but Babylon was not in Daniel. You're here in United States in Martinsville or Collinsville or Patrick Henry or I mean, Patrick Tulsi Henry or whatever place you might be in. But Martinsville does not need to be in you. Collinsville not supposed to be in you. You step into the place, put your feet on the soil, and take possession of what God said in His Word. Wherever you put your feet upon, it belongs to you. We have not been doing that, so we cannot see results. We cannot see the manifestation of the power of God. We cannot see the demonstration. We cannot understand some of the things what God really wants to do because we're not doing them. We live an ordinary, regular church life. It's more than that. I can tell you where I came from. I can tell you what I went through. After last night in the pastor's meeting, I met one of the big, the real big guy. Somebody introduced me to him. And he began to speak some prophetic word unto me. I said, "That's true." He says, "And sir," he says, "God ain't finished with you yet." I said, "I know that. I know all about that. He finished with me." And he said, "There's so many places you got to go." I said, "I know that also." The point is, when you make yourself available, it's become easy for God to work with you. But when we become so busy and we're hustling and we're bustling, we have no time for God. Joseph, not a powerful character in the Bible. You can find his story in the book of Genesis from chapter 37 right now. He had so much encounter. Young guy growing up had two dreams. Put him in major problem. His own brothers came against him. They threw him in a dungeon. Then they sold him. Then he was sold a second time. Ended up in a Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife accused him. He was put into the prison. Two dreams. Put him into the prison. He was there probably for 10 years. Until when he was actually remembered. And then he came out and he had to give the interpretation for the dream for the king. And after that happens, promotion came. The true identity of Joseph was changed completely. He was not a dungeon guy anymore. He was not in a prison anymore. He was not in Potiphar's house anymore. He was not there to be embarrassed by his own brothers anymore. He came to the point where the king decided he was going to promote the man. He says, "Where can I find a man like you with such an excellent spirit, Joseph?" He says, "I'm going to let you sit down in the next chair. I'm going to let you ride the next chariot. And furthermore, I'm going to dress you up as a prime minister or the governor in Egypt. And whatever you say is law and order." Amen. We have not even dreamed to come to that yet. We fight with ourselves every single day. And our problems that we got in our house. And how we're going to make our bills pay. And how we're going to make our mortgage go. And how our health is going to be taken care of. Whether we're going to go health care or we're going to go... what's the other one? Right? And then we think about our job, and we think about finances, and we think about all kind of a different thing, and we get stressed out, and stress brings pain, and pain brings sickness, and sickness brings death. That's right. Come on, the Bible said to the prophet, "Arise! Time to get up! Arise and shine! For the light is come! And the glory of God is risen upon the church, not the ungodly." If we can't live in the presence of God every single day in our life, something is wrong as a born-again, blood-washed child of God. We need to go back to the cross. We need to go back and get baptism all over again. We need to repent and get on our knees and our face and ask God for true Something supernatural to take place in my life. I was in South Carolina the other day. A lady took us out for lunch one day. And we were talking and talking. Then she said she was going to the Methodist church. And she kept talking and she loved the church. And she enjoyed going there and stay baptized and everything else. And when she finished talking, I said, "What baptism did they give you?" She said, "Oh, they sprinkled water on me." I said, "Madam, that's not baptism. That is what you call consecration." I said, "Baptism is to be immersed, to go down into the water and to come up." I was leaving Thursday, and that was Wednesday. I said, I would recommend to you that you get somebody very quickly that they baptize you if you really love the Lord and you want to serve God. Do that. I said, "Furthermore, I'm going to leave tomorrow. But if you want to come today where I'm staying at the Holiday Inn, they have a beautiful pool down there. I can baptize you." I'm serious. You got to become a radical. If God says to arise, you can't sit down. You cannot procrastinate. You're sitting in the wrong place. You're doing the wrong thing. And you're going to end up in the wrong situation. God said to come out from among them and be separated. My God, it's no time now that we have to be partakers of all the crazy thing that is happening in the world outside of there. The church has to be the church. It must live like the church. It must behave like the church. It must carry the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the original Zachar man, to come back to the original, my God, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The lady did not make no hesitation, no fuss or anything else. She said, "All right, 4 o'clock, I'll be there." She brought her daughter, she brought her son, and man, I took them into the water in the name of Jesus. Water was below zero, cold. My God. I have it on my camera. You got to get dangerous and desperate. The potter is making a brand new man. That is what Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. Making a brand new man. The woman gave birth to the man. Man child in Revelation chapter 12. The enemy was ready to devour him. But God had supernatural protection for the woman and the son. Are you hearing me today? Yes. Glory to God. And Joseph came to the point where his entire image was changed to match his true personality that he really wanted to become. Because when he told his father the dreams that he had, the Bible says his father listened to him. And he pondered on what Joseph was saying. His brothers couldn't understand. And as a matter of fact, he only had one real blood brother. And that was Benjamin. All the rest was half brothers. And Benjamin was the only son and only brother who was born in the promised land. And when they came to buy food at the time, Joseph saw them and he knew them and he identified them one time. And he said, "You're spies." He said, "Oh no, king, we're not spies. We're dying. We're hungry. Papa sent us to buy food. You're spies." He knew them. He wanted their image to change also. But he had to deal with them technically. He had to push them through the fire. He had to let the potter take them and begin to mold them and send them through the mill to make sure that they become just like Joseph. It's hard to go through the mill. We plant a lot of rice back home in our country, hundreds and thousands of acres of rice. The paddy has to go through the mill. And there are about five or six different things will come out before you get a grain of rice fall through. Hello? You got to go through the mill. My son is a jeweler. He makes A1 quality stuff. It's not because of my son. That's the truth. I sit down every time he works in the workshop. My hammock is here. His workshop is here. I sit down almost every day when he works there, and I watch him put the gold through the fire. He got to burn out all the dross. Everything that is connected to that piece of gold, he got to burn it out. Then he has to send it through the mill. Then he has to hammer it. He has to go through the everything that he has to do to eventually make it a piece of jewel. Are you hearing me? He's a refiner fire. He sat down and he watched the gold in the fire. You can only take so much fire. You can't take more than that. And he will not give you more than what you can take. He knows exactly how much you can take of that heat. The boys could have taken 7 times more. No problem. It's no problem to them. They must have been dancing like crazy on Saturday. Joseph came to the point after all what had happened, making a long story short. He said to them, to bring your father and bring that brother of yours. I want to see him. He didn't say his brother. He said, bring your brother. He didn't say, bring my father. He said, bring your father. He did not identify himself to them until later when he said, I am your brother Joseph. Bam! Oh my God, this man is going to take revenge on us. No. His image was changed already. His true personality was changed. Yes, from a dungeon, from being sold, from being accused, from being in prison, he was changed completely. He was a different personality altogether. No hate, no prejudice. No ill speaking. No bubbling, no gambling. No gossiping. He was a different person altogether. And he said to them before coming to the end of the whole matter, he says, you know what? He says, what you did, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. I will not hold this against you. But listen to me carefully. I will die. And God will visit you. But when God visits you, do not leave my bones in Egypt. Take me out with you. I mean, this man was so prophetic. We got some people who are pathetic. We got some people who prophesy, say they're prophets, and they're just prophesying rather than prophesying. They have a lot of crazy things. They say they're more than talking things that God did not say. And the worship team that they have down there, yea, it is not of the Lord. Shut up and sit down. Hello. They make sure that when Moses was going to go out of Egypt with all the people and everything else, if nobody didn't want to go, Moses makes sure the bones had to go. Tell your neighbor, my bones have life. Oh, you're still talking like you ain't got a thing inside. Like you really mean it. Tell your neighbor, your bones have life. I'm closing, sir. I'm closing. Give me 10 minutes more. God asked Ezekiel one day, can these bones live? God, what's the matter with you? Are you nuts? You got 48 hands over that side. You got 48 feet on this side. You got a man head on that side. You got all the rib bones scattered all over Wellspring yard. Are you asking me if these bones can live? What kind of question? Are you mentally disarranged, God? He said, Lord, I don't know. You know if they can live. And God says, Ezekiel prophesied, talk to them. We have been struggling so much in our ministry over the years that we have not even tapped into some of the resources to see the demonstration of the manifestation of God's creation in our generation to see some of the things what God really wants to do. He said in His word, the things that I do, greater than these shall you do. We get a little bit healing here. We get a little bit touch there. We get a little bit blessing here, a little bit blessing there. And we feel good and we say, oh yes, we had a great service. I mean, how great was it? When God said, the things that I do, greater than this shall you do. Amen. We have not even tapped into that yet. He stand up in a ship that day and he just tell the storm and the wave, shh. In other words, shut up. Stop what you're doing. He go to the grave of Lazarus. He says, Lazarus, come forth. After they move the stone, Lazarus coming out. He couldn't walk because he was tied up. He could not walk. He was jumping. He said to the disciples, go loose the man. Let him go. We're still yet in this last day to see the supernatural. The things that I do, Jesus said, greater than this shall you do. The latter rain, the former rain, the glory, the latter glory, the greater anointing, the double portion, we still need to tap in into the resources that God has in store for us. We have to go to the potter house. We have to arise. The man got to make us. God has to make us all over again. And we come with our true identity that we have to decide that the image that we carry now, if we're going to keep it, or we want to see it radically change to become into the true personality of who I am really. Yes, Lord. They took Joseph's bones. Ezekiel talked to those bones and all of them began to live. Elisha was sick unto death. They took him a body and threw him inside the grave. Man rotten out. His bones left inside there. Man died sometime after they take the man that were came to bury him. The enemy was coming at the back, and I look back and I saw the enemy. They take the man and threw it inside Elisha's grave. Bam. The minute he touched Elisha's bone, bam, he jumped out. Your bones have life. Don't you ever take yourself for granted. You just did not happen. You're not a mistake. You're not by chance. You did not fall from a tree. You're God's purchased possession. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. And you will always have to give and not to borrow. You're chosen. You're God's chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy people. You are special in the sight of God. You need to see the bigger picture of yourself, of who you are. Turn aside today and go up to the mountain and begin to identify yourself with your true identity. Change your image to match the true person you want to become. Amen. Lastly, amen. Saul of in the New Testament, Saul of Tarsus. Make a very long story short, he was going on the road to Damascus. The day the light hit him down. He was a murderer, a criminal. I mean, he stand up there and give order, stone Stephen, let him die. Let me see him die. He saw the bright light shining on the man like an angel. He heard a voice that Stephen spoke. Lord, forgive them. Forgive Saul. And the day when he was struck down on the road of Damascus, his image changed instantly. When Ananias went to him, he called him Brother Saul. He didn't call him Saul. He says, Brother Saul, the Lord sent me to you. And he was no more that Saul. The scale dropped off from his eyes. He was filled with the Holy Ghost.
He was a chosen vessel. His identity changed completely from a murderer to one who will now go into the mission field. He was caught up into the heaven. He saw things that was not expedient for him to write, to talk about. And maybe somebody said he was up there for probably about 10 years. I don't know. And he received all those revelations. He said he could not write it down. And he came to the place where he began to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. Because he decided, he came to the place of his true identity as a murderer, man who killing all the saints everywhere. That his image was changed completely. He was no more Saul, but now he was Paul. The first Saul was a fool. He said, I make myself a fool. This other Saul said, then he became Paul, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. This other Saul down here was in a real big mess. This other Saul down here was also in a mess, but he said, none of these things move me. Hello? He says, none of these things move me. He stood firm and steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the true identity of his true image from Saul to Paul. What about your image today? I recommend that you go back to the Potter house. Go home today. Lord, if I am not where I should be, I submit myself to you, make me all over again. The way he can make you again is that he got to break you all over. Then he has to put you in a mold and to make you. If I take a glass right now and I throw it down and I burst it on this floor, it became broken pieces. And all I have to do is to take it up and throw it away. Because I can't make it back. But God can take the same glass that is broken. And he can fix it. Yes. Are you ready to be fixed?
Yes.
You want to change your image today?
Yep.
We all know that we carry a bad image sometimes. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. I can't go there. I can't go there. We go through this kind of a situation over and over and over again. But today I submit to you as a servant of God. If Wellspring and wherever you come from, or wherever you are, and I'm talking to myself, if you really want to move on and to see things happen in our life, in our ministry, or family, or marriage, our job, wherever we go, if we want to see some things happen, submit yourself to God.
Amen.
For his dealings. He is the potter. We're the clay.
Amen.
We cannot put new wine in old bottle. You know that. Is that the right thing? Am I saying?
Yes.
Or we cannot take new wine and put it in old bottle. We're going to lose both of them. You have to get new wine with new bottles.
Yes.
I trust today that you'll be a good new bottle. Or a good vessel that's available. Like Timothy tells us. To be vessels unto honor. That is fit for the master's use.
Yes.
Let us all stand. I'm not going to be making an altar call. I know some of you have been here this morning already for service. But I want to say this with love and respect to every one of you. If you know where you are today is not where you should have been. And you understand that God has so much more in store for you. To even, in a more supernatural way, to change your entire image and to bring it to the place where you should be. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand right where you are. I'm going to pray with you. I know what I'm asking you to do because I've been there. I struggled there a long time. I had to believe God and I had to surrender. This is my prayer every single day. Lord, I surrender to you. Every day that is my prayer. As long as you surrender to him, you can't fight him anymore. And there's a song we sing back home. I don't know if you sing it here. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. And I tell myself, if I give the Lord my heart and I give him my soul, I have no right to take it back when I walk out the door. But that is what happened many times. People take it back as fast as I walk out the door. And I keep it for themselves for the whole week, from Sunday afternoon until next Saturday. The next Sunday morning I come, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul again. It don't work that way. Lift up your hand, I pray with you. Father, today I thank you in a very special way for the opportunity of speaking your word to your people today. They have been gracious to be here for the second service, wherever they came from. I pray, God, to release a special deposit into their life. Impart unto them, my God, something special, supernatural. That they will understand, my God, they have to decide about the image, how they want to change it to match the true person that they want to become. If they're a minister, God, make them a true minister. Faithful, honest, with integrity, passion, vision, and purpose. With the giftings and callings. Whether they're workers, whatever they're doing into the house of God, let them be honest with what they're doing and be faithful into it. I pray, God, that you will bless them today. Every person, draw them closer unto yourself that they will run after you. Bring them into your chambers and help them to establish a more powerful, genuine, strong relationship with you. Help them, my God, to slow down in all the busy schedules and plans and programs and traveling and everything else. And Lord, let them stand still and hear the voice of the Lord. Jeremiah had to be in a place to hear the voice of the Lord. To go down to the potter house and to make sure that a potter makes the clay exactly what he wants. So God, we submit today. We surrender. And we say, God, have your own way in our life today. For those, my God, who have been going through some times and situation, I ask you for divine intervention right now. You will touch them. Those who are sick in their body, God, move by your spirit right now. I rebuke every sickness and infirmity. I curse it from the roots. I command to die right now. And I send it back to the pit of hell. Every demonic powers that attack your people with sickness and disease, my God, we bind them right now. And we send them back to the pit of hell in Jesus' name. We command them to loose the hold of the people. No demon have any right into our body. No legal access. No legal rights. No legal foundation. We mash it up right now. Lord, those who need finances, reach down to them today. Let them understand the principles God have given to you so you can give back to them. For those who need a job, I pray that you provide for them. For those who might need of a home, my God, that you'll take care of that today. Lord, that you supernaturally intervene, my God, in a most miraculous way, that they will embrace the favor and the goodness of God, that they will know that they are serving a living God. I thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer today. Bless Pastor John, his family, and the church, the leaders, all the visiting ministry, and the people that come here. And continue, Lord, to keep them faithful until the day when you will return. I give you praise and thanks today, in Jesus' name.